podcast on group development, characteristics, and needs. The four phases of team development were first created by Bruce Tuckman in 1965, termed forming, storming, norming, and performing. Now composed of five phases, the final phase of adjourning is seen in models used today. Tuckman assured that all phases are inevitable in team development. Each stage has its own characteristics and needs, which make it easy for the leader to distinguish between them and provide the necessary solutions, changes, or propositions in order to reduce conflict, increase performance, maintain a positive atmosphere, and advance on to the next stage. The first stage is the forming stage. This is when the team is first formed and roles are assigned to each team member. Characteristics of this stage include team members are just getting to know each other here, so may display hesitant or cautious behavior, as well as showing signs of stress. This may be positive stress where team members are excited or negative stress where anxiety symptoms may be present. In this stage, getting to know each other is the primary focus, as well as trying to get a feel of what other team members are like. In terms of the needs of the group, it is crucial that in this stage, for example, at the start of a workshop or training group, the leader explains responsibilities, outcomes, roles, schedules, and group rule. Icebreakers are often used to break down the initial barrier of cautious behavior and open the team members up to working with each other. The second stage is the storming stage. This stage can be characterized by some initial tension. As team members become more open with each other and discussions begin on the task, competition and conflict between individuals begin so they can solidify their place in the group as well as get their point across. Individuals may then group themselves based on their personalities and wants. If during the forming stage roles and responsibilities were not clearly identified and assigned to the whole group, some group members may become display signs of anxiety, anger, and stress. This means that the group leader should regularly review the responsibilities, schedules, and main aims and objectives of the task so that all team members understand their roles. If conflicts arise, it is important that as the leader you mediate and negotiate solutions to any problems which arise to allow the team to move forward as soon as possible rather than dwelling on often emotional issues. Remind the team members of group rules established in the forming stage if necessary. The third stage is norming. As the name suggests, this is when relationships and atmosphere within the group is normal. In this stage, any conflicts are now resolved, and the working atmosphere is stable and calm. Here, team members know each other well and understand how to work well together without much direction from the leader. The team is developing well and is focused on the task. Team members trust each other more in this stage. It must be noted that even though the team development stages are presented as a graph, it is not a linear development. If new members join, the group may go back to the forming stage. If the task gets complicated or the team gets sidetracked from the goals, the team may go back to the storming stage. This is why the group leader must be able to understand the different characteristics of each stage, as they may change quicker or slower than anticipated. The penultimate stage is performing. This is where the team works at its best. Performance is high. The atmosphere is positive, and members perform their tasks efficiently. Everybody is on track to meet the aims and objectives. Team members trust and respect each other and do not need much direction from the team leader. Conflicts can be quickly resolved without much interference or aid from the leader. A key need here is praise and oversight from the leader, with delegation of task rather than micromanaging. The final stage is adjourning. All the aims, objectives, and goals have been met and completed. It is easy to know when the team is at the adjourning stage, as it is a matter of finalizing paperwork, cleaning up, evaluation, and reflection, as well as the time may have run out. Team members move on to new projects or workshops. If they do not work at the same institution, they may never see each other again. For some, this is a happy ending, but for others, they may feel sad that this is the end of the journey. Especially if relationships have been created with other team members. This is natural, and the team leader may suggest a further session to reflect on what was achieved or learnt, a small celebration such as a dinner, or in today's internet age, a group chat for the team members who wish to stay in touch. This is a good moment for networking and exchanging contacts. As the team leader, you should give the team members the opportunity and space to say goodbye to each other, to provide closure for individuals, depending on the individual personalities of team members or the goals and aims, there may be other needs you notice as team leader. It is important to verbalize them and ask the team members open-ended questions, provide reassurance, as well as being a point of contact for them. This is particularly important when working with difficult, vulnerable, or disadvantaged groups who may struggle to verbalize their wants and needs, may not be mindful of their feelings and behaviors, may have communication barriers, or individuals who are at risk of social exclusion within the team. Furthermore, the team members may not be aware of these 5 stages of development, so it may be a good idea to provide them with a summary so that they can understand these characteristics are a normal and common process of teamwork and management, funded by the European Union. Views and opinions expressed are, however, those of the author only and do not necessarily reflect those of the European Union. Neither the European Union nor the granting authority can be held responsible for them.